And as we worship, wherever you are, we are going to focus on the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. So good. So good. And the fact that He has done so much on our behalf for us. He's gone before us, and He will do it again. Amen? If God has done something good for you, can you say amen? Yeah, one more time. If God has done something good for you, can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this beautiful morning, and we thank You for everyone here under this roof, God, that's come together to worship You, unified, corporately, God. I just pray that our worship to You would be just such a blessing. We are here to lift You up and to tell You how much we love You, how much we need You. God, that's why we're here, to be in Your presence and to spend time with You. So take our worship as a blessing to You. In Jesus' name, we lift You up. Amen. All right, let's worship.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song.
Tell Him
You are good, good. The King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, sing, let the King of my heart, let the King of my heart. Say
God, you are so good. You are faithful. Your promise stands, God.
Still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Your glory is so beautiful.
goodness and kindness, God, that lead people to repentance. Yes, Lord. God, help us just lay everything down and follow you. Lay our plans down and follow you. Lay our struggles down and follow you. Those decisions we need to make, God, show us the way and we will follow you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We follow you today, Jesus. Give you glory. We give you glory.
Wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can we sing that part one more time?
Can wash away my sins.
You're our hope, oh Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
In every way imaginable, Jesus, you are our hope.
What can make me whole again?
Guilt and through shame, you're the hope.
The blood of
through pain, you're the hope.
Jesus,
when we feel empty, lost, or alone, you're the hope. When we feel like everything's meaningless, Jesus, you're the hope. You are our hope in every single way imaginable, Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
We thank you, Jesus. Let's just spend a brief moment in prayer together. Sometimes we close our eyes and we bow our head just so that we can focus. Jesus, we need you this morning. We focus on you this morning. We lift up all of our cares and all of our worries because you care for us. Your yoke is easy, your burden's light. All of our stress, anxiety, fear. We take a deep breath of you and your presence into our lives. We breathe you in and we think about all the things going on in our lives. And we breathe out the worry, we breathe out the stress, God. We welcome you into our lives. You are our hope. You are our strength. You are our peace. You are our life. You are our light. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We give it to you. Just imagine that issue, that problem, that pain, that situation. Just imagine yourself just giving it to him. Whether you envision the cross or whether you envision Jesus with open arms or whatever you envision, but just envision giving it to him as you pray. We trust you, Jesus, with this situation. You are our hope. Amen. Amen. He can be trusted. He is faithful, like we sung, and he can do it again. He's done it before, and he can do it again. Amen. Amen. Why don't you say hello to somebody around you, a fist bump, a handshake, a head nod. If you don't know their name, go ahead and introduce yourself. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. So glad that you're here in the building and online. Welcome our service animals, too. We're so glad you're here. If you're a guest with us, thanks for joining with us. Whether you're online or here in person, there is a new here card in your seat back in front of you or on the link online. If you would fill that out, we'd love to know that you're here. We'd just like to send a note of thanks for joining us. And if you're in person or if you're online, you can come by anytime, and we have a gift for you, just a little thank you for coming and being a part of us, being with us this morning. We're just appreciative, so appreciative. And for everybody that's here, welcome and thank you. We're going to go ahead and prepare to receive our tithes and offerings. The ushers are going to come forward. Of course, you can continue to do this online. Those options are still available. You can text to give, QR code it, all kinds of ways. We're going to pass those buckets as well. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that we get to come into this place, give back to you what you've given to us to support mission and vision of what you're doing in our community. We love you. Thank you for all the many blessings in our lives. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, so we do have a few announcements I want to point out to you, and it will actually happen on the screen there. So if you'll turn your attention there, the Broadways are going to take it away.
What's up, Sea of Paris? We are so excited that you are here with us this Sunday. We have just a few announcements that we're going to power through because we have an extra special video at the end. First off, this coming Tuesday is Food Pantry. So if you want to, please come and join us as we stock the shelves for the Food Pantry. This coming Sunday is going to be our Start Here class with Pastor G. So please, if you have any questions, go join Pastor G. You can ask him. It's going to be amazing. Second, same Sunday, we're doing baby dedications. So if you want to sign your kid up for any kid, up for baby dedications. Well, babies?
Nope, babies, kids.
Anybody.
Families.
Sign them up online and you can be part of the baby dedications.
All right, guys, today's a super special Sunday. It is Orphan and Foster Care Sunday, and we as a church are super excited to be able to partner in this. So we're gonna show you a quick video, so check it out.
My name is Bella, and I've been in care for 453 days.
My name is Andrea, and I've been in care for 941 days.
I was in foster care for 6 months, and and after that, I got adopted by my new parents.
A lot of people don't really want the older kids. I got scared as I was getting older, like, okay, I'm not going, this might not happen.
You know, the reason my wife and I decided to open our home to children is because we realized God has given us a lot of resources that we had available. We were done parenting our first two children. We said, we got this big house, we have these resources, we need to use them. And we thought, why not kids who need this type of help?
And a news person asked me a question. They said, what would you say to a mom who finds herself in crisis pregnancy? And I said, there were people, good Christian people out there who would love to help her. And I really didn't consider myself. I really didn't even stop to say, God, what would you have me to do?
I have wanted to open my home to other children since I was a kid. I think God just gave me a heart for that. When it started in our life was a little bit earlier than we had planned, but God's plans are much bigger than our plans, and He wanted us to start earlier.
Even though the aspect of doing it was not easy, we firmly believe that the act of obedience is much more worth it than whatever comes out of that. Because I think God blesses that obedience, and not only blesses us, but it also blesses the children that we take in, and it blesses other people around us too.
There is something extremely powerful when we read in scripture, like, hey, even we are orphans and we are adopted. And I can remember, man, you don't want me. Like, God, why would you want me? Because I've messed up so many times. And this child is thinking the same thing. No one wants me. And so I think that's just him showing, hey, this is the story of adoption. Like, I adopted you. You're getting to experience that.
I'm really thankful for our church community. Literally, they have been parenting alongside of us.
Super thankful for a couple of our friends who are willing to go get respite certified or babysitter certified. When we started all of this, it was thrust upon us really fast, so we had no support. We didn't go on a date for 18 months because we had nobody who could watch our kids legally.
Another is just our own children, actually, because there's days where I'm like, oh my word, I am spent. Then the Lord uses just the whole family unit to come alongside to love these children and give them what is lacking in you.
I like having a big family because it is big and there's more people to play with.
I'm glad I got adopted
because if not, I wouldn't have a family with two parents, and I would not have come to know Christ.
It doesn't matter where you are, as long as, you know, I have a home.
And the ministry to love a child, to love someone who's been created in the image of our God, just as I've been created, and they find themselves in a situation where it wasn't their choice. They were just born, and this is what they have. And if we can open our home and show them love, the blessing is definitely been mine.
If I could adopt kids, I would adopt as many as there is.
All right, that was so awesome, guys. And we're just so grateful and thankful to be able to be a part of this. So if you have any questions, if you're interested in foster care, I know there's a huge need for respite and babysitters, because they can't just leave a foster child with anyone. They have to be certified just to babysit. So there is such a need in our community, and this is such a way that we can come alongside our community and help. So if you have any questions or are interested at all, please go check the table out in the lobby. Morgan is out there, and she will more than gladly answer any questions you have. So please, if that's on your heart, go check it out. I think that's it, guys. We love you. Bye.
Man. All right, I'm going to address two elephants in the room. Immediately, right off the bat, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to address an issue. Brandon, would you come up here for a second? Yeah, just go ahead. Let's just walk on up. Just walk on up. It's just, okay. So, wow. You look good.
So do you.
Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. I do have to address one very serious issue today, and that is, some of you are unaware. I have tried to kind of seemingly make it clear where my priorities lie. Over the last few weeks, I have been stepping on toes. Y'all have told me as such. I have given you the opportunity to not have your toes stepped on today, because, as you should know, I'm a Broncos fan. Some of you didn't know. All right, there we go. I'm a Broncos fan, and the Broncos play the Cowboys today. So because nobody bought me a ticket to go watch the game in person, I'm going to step on your toes as many times as the Cowboys score more than the Broncos today. So just expect it a lot. It's going to be a bad day. All right, today, guys, what I want to do, I want to wrap up our series. Reconnect this here. I want to wrap up our series, and what I want to do is I want to look at the way, or the idea, that to love like Jesus loves, to love all along the way, we're going to have to forgive all along the way. Love and forgiveness, they walk hand in hand. In fact, I was joking around with somebody. Every single one of my messages, this is the sixth week that we've done this series, and every single one of these, I could take them all and just kind of lump them all up into today's, but then I wouldn't have gotten to step on your toes so much. But yeah, I really could just wrap everything up that we've said over the last 5 weeks in today's message. I'd love to tell you it's easy, but it's not. I'm going to try and make it easy. In fact, Jesus himself tells us I'm not there yet. Forget that one. Matthew 17. In Matthew 17, Jesus, he tells us offenses will come. We know that offenses will come in life, and yet somehow, some way, we still are surprised when they do. Offenses come from the very people who you'd least expect them to come from. People that promise to be there for us, people that promise to love us, people that, all these different issues, all these different things that happen. We were singing that second song there. And one of the things that kind of just came to my mind as Melissa started singing that first verse, walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. And I can't tell you how many times I've sung that song, how many times I've heard those words, and when I hear them, I see myself just kind of walking around that same mountain, around those same walls. And then today I saw something a little different, and I hope it helps you a little bit too. Sometimes I don't think we're outside the walls. Sometimes we're walking around, but it's the walls that we've created on the outside, and we're walking around on the inside. Walking around these walls, God, I thought by now they'd fall. I mean, I thought surely I'd be further along in life. I thought surely that something else would happen. I thought surely that life would be better for this. And all along the way, we become bitter. We become angry. We become hurtful. Just even hurt by people around us. I think we can all get along with somebody as long as there's no conflict. It's easy to get along with people when there's no conflict. But all of a sudden, when there's a different viewpoint, when there's even different theology, when there's a difference in lifestyles, what do you do when you get in conflict, when you don't agree, or worse, how can you forgive someone who does something that is seemingly unforgivable? In Matthew 6, now I can go to it. Here we go. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus also said this. He said this, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours." That's a tough scripture. And look, this is the Bible according to Corey. When I read this scripture, I think a lot of people take that and it looks harsh on the outside. And it is. But God's not harsh. That's not his heart. That's not his attitude. As I read through scripture, his heart is for us to have life and to have it abundantly. His heart is that you would choose life over choosing death. And so if his heart is that we should choose life, then maybe there's something else deeper to that scripture than just the outward on the outside. Well, if I forget to forgive them, then God's not going to forgive me. No, that's not what it's saying. When we harbor unforgiveness, it truly wrecks our lives, every aspect of our lives, your sleep itself, scientifically, your sleep is even hurt. Your life is wrecked. And so when we live in unforgiveness, when we live in the weight and the bitterness and just the heaviness of all the hurt that it carries, it actually keeps us from walking in and being reminded of the bigness, the goodness of God's forgiveness towards us. The reality is, though, if you live long enough, you're going to be hurt by somebody. Welcome to church, be encouraged. You're going to be offended. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be deeply wounded by somebody. Somebody's going to betray you. For some of you, it may not even be something big. It may just be that really annoying person that knows how to crawl under your skin every time they're around you. Or for some of you, man, I've sat in offices and listened to you. I've heard the stories, carrying wounds that I couldn't even begin. Someone abused you. Someone took advantage of you. Someone cheated you. Someone lied to you. Someone betrayed your trust. Somebody hurt you. And there's wounds that we carry that hurt. And the hard part about forgiveness is the thought that they may even never know that they hurt you. Corey, that ain't right. Like, there's people that have done me wrong, and in my mind, if they just knew how bad it was that they hurt me, well, then maybe then it would be all better. For some of you, you've lived a life where you've always just thought, based on other people's opinions and what they've said of you, that you'd just never be good enough. We're talking lifetime scars, wounds. How do you just forgive something that has wrecked and destroyed your life? Some of you are angry at God. Someone who is a Christian said something that wasn't very Christian-like. Or maybe you were a part of a church, part of a home, and now they did something, whether they know it, they didn't know it, whatever it was, they hurt you. And we carry these wounds, we carry these scars. Some of you were hurt by somebody who's no longer alive, and yet you still carry the bitterness and the anger. For some of you here today, others of you, man, you're angry at yourself. Frustrated, man, you've fallen into the same pit, and although you know you don't want to, it just seems like this reciprocating cycle that you just can't seem to get out of, and you want to, you really do. You want to get out, you want to be done, and yet here you are again. When Jesus said this passage, you have to understand, guys, this was crazy shocking to the audience. Like, this wasn't some different time. I think sometimes we look at this and go, yeah, but I mean, Jesus lived in different days. Okay, so they were living under Roman rule. Roman rule taught that revenge was the key. In fact, the Romans had a god that was a god of revenge. They worshiped the god of revenge. Everything, a lot of what they did, including their crucifixion, the science behind it was based on how can we extract the most humiliating revenge that we can on people. The Jews themselves taught an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They wrong you, you wrong them back. If they take something from you, you get it back and take something back as reciprocation, right? If they flip you off, then what do? Cut them off, slam the brakes, brake check them, and flip them off back, right? No. No, no, no. We do. We live in a culture that's our go-to. It's our thought. I mean, you may not necessarily think that you want to until you're put in the situation and somebody does it to you. And then you're like, oh, you're getting yours. It's coming. I was at a volleyball game just this last week. And the ref made a terrible call. He didn't see it. I did. I was right. Just clear that up. And the very next play, we scored. We took it back. And everything in me wanted to yell out, cheater, come out! You got! I mean, I was like, That's the natural tendency. That's the world we live in. That's the way we've grown up. But Jesus was saying that we got to choose different. That we're going to have to choose to forgive. We must choose to love all along the way. And look, guys, it can be done. We can love all. Throughout Scripture, we see example after example. Ordinary people. Think about Joseph. Joseph's brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit, and then out of a heart of mercy said, well, instead of leaving him to die, we're going to sell him off to slavery. His brothers. They then ripped up his clothing and took it to their dad, covered in blood, saying, sorry, dad, a mountain lion got your son. Gone. 11 of them gathered together to go against one brother. Joseph. Joseph, in his lifetime, by the end of everything, he's number two in all of command of the known world at the time of Egypt. Number two in all the land, the known world at the time. And so, all of a sudden, the land experiences a drought, a famine. unlike anything they've ever seen before. 7 years of famine where not just you and yours, but the surrounding countries are dying off. They're losing their cattle, they're losing their food, they're losing their crops, they're losing everything. But Joseph planned ahead, so much so that not only is he set, but he has enough stored up to feed not only his country, but the surrounding countries. I mean, he set himself up. God's shown him. God's elevated him from this place where people were taking advantage of him. And now God's got him up there. And his brothers show back up. His brothers show back up. But here's the thing. We know that story. Who else was there in that kingdom? Who else stood before Joseph during the famine that lasted 7 years? What about the people that simply forgot about him? The baker that was in there that promised, man, Joseph, you're awesome. Man, God's got an anointing on your life, and I'm going to remember you. When the king lets me go, I'm going to remember you. And they forgot about him. His closest friends that said they were going to be there for him walked out and lived their life happy and left him to rot in jail. How about Potiphar's wife? She's there too. I mean, this girl framed him, accused him, and sent him off to prison in the first place. I mean, spread crazy lies about him that got him locked up. And now here he is in this moment with the power over all of them to look at them in the face and say, cheater comes out. You got yours. You're going to get yours now. He made a choice. He said, I can get them back. I can use the authority. I can use the position I have. I can extract my revenge. But Joseph made a decision to forgive. And in doing so, ended up saving his family and, in fact, saved the entire known world at the time. I think about Moses. Moses grew up in the palace. And in his mind, he knew that he was a Jew, but that he was set apart. He wanted so badly to be able to free his people. And then one day he saw the opportunity. There was an Egyptian guard that was beating down on one of the Jews. And so Moses stepped in for his people and took out the guard. And when the Egyptians questioned what was going on, Moses' people that he stood up for, they said, look, man, don't look at us. It was that guy. That guy's been living it up in the palace. It's his fault. Silver spoon. Take him. So because Moses tried to rescue his people, he was sentenced to walk the desert for 40 years. It wasn't until after 40 years that Jesus shows up in a bush. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God shows up in a bush, and what's the very first thing it tells Moses to do? Yeah, you're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to go back to those people who don't want you. Those people who, when you stood up for them, they said, you're not one of mine. You're not ours. Those people, you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to forgive them. And he went back and he set the people free. I think of David. We talk about David all the time. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, and yet I look at the life of David. David had a father who didn't think he amounted to much. Think about it. When the prophet came to David's father and said, I want you to line up your sons because today I know that God is going to anoint a king. One of your sons is going to be king. Bring them here. David's father lined up all the sons except for him, left him to feed and watch the sheep because it wasn't David. Surely you want one of my other sons. And then from there, David's life. His brothers made fun of him, belittled him. He had a wife who put him down, who mocked him. Not just mocked him, mocked his worship. Like, it's one thing to make fun of somebody because they chew too loud. But you start mocking how somebody worships God? Come on. Had a son named Absalom who broke his heart, wanted to take everything from him. Had a father-in-law who hired armies to kill him. Look, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your father-in-law or your mother-in-law. but I'm willing to bet, I'm going to guess, they haven't hired hitmen. If they have, I would really love to talk to you. like that's a story I got to hear. David chose to forgive, was a man after God's own heart, and helped birth peace over a nation, although he never got to see it and live in it. You have to make up, make a choice, make a decision, make it up in your own mind, in your life. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to forgive. Look, sooner or later, you're going to suffer hurt. You're going to be rejected. But the love all along the way, we're going to have to forgive. But how when it seems impossible? I want to give one more example out of Scripture. In Luke 23, we see the most amazing example of forgiveness. In Luke 23, Jesus is hanging on the cross between two criminals. And I think a lot of times, I don't think we grasp the severity, the brevity of what was going on with just the cross. Like we have pictures in our mind of this hill and on top of a hill. It's a beautiful picture, really. I'm so glad they did it. They put all three crosses right on top of the hill. And everybody's kind of down around the bottom, down up there, where you can look up to this beautiful cross. Again, remember the Romans, everything they did was about extracting as much revenge, as much humiliation as they could. They worshiped the god of revenge. Their scientists had devised a way to kill somebody so slowly and in the most agony. We know the bits of driving the nails through the hands and the feet. I think a lot of times what we don't realize is a lot of times we see the feet kind of crossed on a little pedestal, a perch, which you can kind of stand up on. But science says that actually they stuck it to the side of the main beam and they just drilled in through the ankles on either side. Scientifically, they had figured out how that suffocation was probably one of the worst ways to die because it's prolonged. How long can we take the worst way to die and accelerate, or not accelerate it, but extend it? So the way that you were actually hanging, scientifically, you would drop just out of weakness and it would cut off your ability to breathe. Your body naturally fights suffocation. Your body will start to physically convulse to fight suffocation. And in doing so, you would push up against the nails on either ankle. You would pull up against the nails in your wrist and you would lift just to grab a breath before falling down to start suffocating and dying all over again. We've heard bits of that. The cross itself, it wasn't sitting up, you know, 15 feet up in the air where angels could surround and look really pretty for pictures. The cross was actually designed to where face to face, when you're hanging, when you're suffering, when you're dying, you're looking almost eye to eye as the people can walk by, look you in the face and say, "Told you so." It's what you get. You got yours. Serves you right. As you can't grasp a breath, they're right there to spit you in the face. Man. Scripture talks about they're spitting on him, they're mocking him. In his face, not down at the bottom of a hill where you can look up there and see him, but in his face, walking by these guys and spitting at him. Yelling at him, mocking at him, "King of the Jews, save yourself. You got yours." And it's at that moment, it's at that very moment that Jesus prays a prayer. When humanity itself is at its worst, when they're mocking their own creator, the one who's literally made the decision last night to give up his own life just to spare theirs. He says, "Father, forgive them." For they don't know what they're doing. Oh my gosh. And he didn't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. Some of them never knew that they needed his forgiveness. He made a decision. Because forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a choice. He forgave the seemingly unforgivable. So, that raises the question, to love all along the way, how do we forgive like he does? I want to give you two points, just two quick points. You say, that's simple, that's easy. No, it's not. Yeah. I do two so you can actually remember it. Don't get offended because I said you're dumb. I'm just saying I'm doing 2 points. That's all I'm saying. It's very easy to remember 2 points. But these 2 points, I'm going to be honest with you and say I'm still working through them. How do we learn to forgive like Jesus? He shows us that to love all along the way, we're going to have to pray for those who hurt us. Pray for those who hurt us. It's what he was doing on the cross. In Luke 6:28, that's exactly what he says. He says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. Now, I have played this next song more times than I care to admit. Sometimes we hear, I got to pray for them, and our thought is, yeah, I can do that. I'll pray they get theirs. This is a song that I think is, well, here we go. 2010. Come on.
So I listen to the preacher.
That's good.
As he told me what to do.
I like it. That makes sense. That's good.
Sometimes we get angry.
Yeah.
We must not condemn.
Amen.
Let the good Lord do his job.
You just pray for them. Right? It's that easy. How many of you know it? Yep. And then? All right, we got this. I can't let it go further, because look, I get it. Oh, we're going to just stop that for me. I pray your engine stalls when you're climbing high. I pray your birthday comes and no one shows. I mean, man, I'll pray for you. But this is what Jesus said. You've heard it said. In other words, you've been taught your whole life. You've been raised in an environment where they tell you, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I don't like this scripture. Like, I don't know if that's allowed. Like, if God allows me to not like a scripture, I don't like this scripture. It's hard. Love your enemies. That's easy to say, and it's easier to say to somebody else, but it's hard when you have your own. But when Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, I mean, literally, the word persecuted, it translates as subjected to hostility or ill treatment, especially because of race, political, or religious beliefs. We've all been hurt by someone, let down by someone. Someone lied about you, gossiped about you, and the first place that we've got to start is praying for them. I wrestled. I, so I've only got 2 points. It shouldn't be that hard, but I did really wrestle with which one was going to be number one and which one was going to be number two and how this would go. And ultimately what I came down to is it's got to start with prayer. Because one of the reasons I believe Jesus taught this was because it takes a right attitude. A right attitude always precedes a right action. And so if my attitude isn't right, there's never even a chance for the right action to occur. And so for the right attitude to start beginning to take place, I've got to start going to the only one who can make the right attitude right. When I'm overwhelmed with negative thoughts towards someone, towards an individual, towards whatever it is, there's no way I'm going to have the right action. But if I'm praying for someone, now my attitude starts to slowly change. And the right attitude will always lead to right actions. You start by doing something that's right. If even just in your own mind, you start to renew your mind. And then eventually, right attitudes is what leads to right actions. And hear me, I know you may be unable to start praying for them immediately. Corey, I know I'm supposed to, but I'm not quite there yet. But over time, as you keep asking God, as you keep praying to God about the situation, I can promise you, over time you'll be able to. It'll start small. It may be something just as simple as God do something in their lives. Because something seems a little ambiguous. Like you can just kind of, you know, it's out there. It's just kind of like, you know, whatever God, you know, just do something. I mean, if it's not good, that's okay too. Just, God, I'm kidding, God. I'm kidding. You know, just do something in their life, whatever. But as you do, it starts to change your heart. It starts to change what's your mindset, your thoughts. It's easier to pray God something. That's a little open-ended, but then it leads to God bless them. Some of you don't want to get there. You need to. Let me tell you this, when you start praying for those who hurt you, your prayer, it may or may not ever change them. But it will always, always change you. We have to pray for the others. The second thing that we're going to have to do, we pray for them. Don't just love those who love you, hate those who hate you. No, we pray for those who hurt us. We love our enemies, and then we forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, Corey, how can you tell me how I'm supposed to forgive if in your answer you're just going to tell me to forgive? As you've been forgiven, this is what's important. We forgive in the same manner that God has forgiven us. As we have been forgiven. Colossians 3:13, Paul says, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, we talked last week about the parable, the parable that Jesus gave about the servant who owed the master. And I was sharing just about the enormity, the difference between what the servant owed the servant and what the servant owed the master. Okay, that was last Sunday. Since last Sunday, I don't know what happened. I don't know how, but I have seen and have had, I don't know how many other people come up to me to tell me they've seen at least 20 other preachers preach on the same passage. And every single one of them came up with different numbers for what the calculations are as far as today's market. Theirs were wrong, but that's I love math. Like, I love math, but now every other message was all a different number. Oh, so I'm really doubting my numbers from last week. So don't worry about the numbers. I mean, I was right, but don't worry about the numbers. Instead, it's the enormity of just of what Jesus did. Either way, God has forgiven me a lot. The guy, I don't know what it is you've done. how many lies that you've told or how many people you've hurt along the way. I don't know how many times you've disobeyed God or sinned against God, maybe even directly spitting in his face. I don't know. But I can tell you I've been forgiven of a lot. And if I'm to forgive others in the same manner that God has forgiven me, if he's forgiven me a lot, then I'm going to have to freely forgive too. In our fleshly nature, though, we don't have what it takes to forgive. You and I, on our own, we don't have what it takes. When we say it's near impossible, it's because it is. In our own, we can't just forgive. That hurt is always there. That weight is always there. You see them, you hear them, you whatever it is, you think about it, and it's there. It hurts. But by the power of his Spirit in us, we can learn to forgive like we have been forgiven. How do you forgive the unforgivable? As you've been forgiven. At some point, you'll have to make a choice. And it'll be a choice. You'll have to make a choice. I must forgive. I'm not sure that I'm quite there yet, but I'm going to choose to do what God's word says, and then I'm going to work through it. What do you do when you've been hurt? You start praying. You take it to God. You be honest with him. People believe that they have to be holy. They have to be righteous when they pray to God. Look, God knows you're not. That's not a surprise. Scripture tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care who you look across in this room, who you elevate, who you think is God-like status. There is none. You can't approach him and be holy and righteous unless you have him. He was bruised, beaten, crushed, wounded for our transgressions. And he didn't wait until we asked for forgiveness. As the band comes up, I want them to play on that second song again from the beginning. God didn't wait for us to ask for forgiveness. In fact, a lot of times it's crazy. I look at the issues that where I'm currently feeling hurt, and then I look back over my life and wonder how many times did I do something, if not the same, similar to somebody else, and never knew it. I mean, walked away just completely ignorant. You got to come before him. You got to admit. You got to be honest. You got to say, God, this is what it is. This is what I'm dealing with. He knows. He already knows. God, I don't want to do this because what they did was not right. It hurt me, and they should at least know. But God, I'm choosing to step out. I'm going to choose forgiveness. Here's the thing, guys. Forgiveness can rewrite your future. Forgiveness can rewrite your future. The Christian walk is nothing but a journey in forgiveness. Our walk is a journey in forgiveness. I heard a great illustration this week. It was, I believe it was in our morning men's group, Tuesday mornings, 6:30, right here in the fellowship hall. One of the guys was talking about just the parallels that happen. And a lot of times I think we miss it. God's and he was making this beautiful illustration of how it forms the cross. But in relation to this, God's forgiveness is always flowing. It's always flowing. It's always flowing. We just don't necessarily step into it all the time. But in those moments where we reach out, in those moments where we start to reach out and not just receive forgiveness, but as well extend forgiveness, we actually create the cross. God moving in and through. at that very moment. One day you make a choice. By faith, I'm choosing it. I may not feel it yet, but I'm going to start saying, I let this go. I'm going to let go of what they said, what they did, what they didn't do, what they promised and didn't live up to. I'm going to let go. The words that were said, the things that were done, the hurt that was felt. In the same way that God let my sins go. Guys, in the same way that Jesus, hanging in the face of his accusers, shed his blood to forgive my sins. Look, I've heard it said, Jesus saw your face when he prayed that prayer. And that's beautiful, but I don't know what went through Jesus' mind. I don't. I don't know if he saw my face. It's a beautiful picture, but here's what I do know. He saw every face that walked right in front of him and spit at him, mocked him, accused him, walked away from him. He saw his own disciples not show up at that very moment. Everything I've ever felt, betrayal, hurt, whatever I can even come up with, it pales in comparison to think about just what it was that Jesus himself looked into the eyes of his accusers and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know. They don't know. Even in my ignorance, even in my stupidity, God was forgiving me. I don't know who today's carrying an offense. It could be something significant in it as well, like we talked about. It may just very well be walls that you've created, defense mechanism. Or it could be severe offenses. Here's what I want to do. I want to sing this song starting from the beginning again. Walking around these walls. And as we do, guys, I'm going to invite you all to stand with me as we wrap up, as we close. Let's sing this song before I pray us out and talk about this. Melissa, would you sing that for us?
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall.
Yes, come on, church.
But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come.
Ooh, yeah.
Knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet.
Never failed me yet. Come on, his promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Yes, Lord, great is your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
The world says you love those who love you. You hate those who hate you. Jesus says, no, you pray for those who persecute you. You love your enemy and you forgive as you have been forgiven. It's how good our God is that he freely forgives. There may be those here today that would say, Corey, I've been hurt. Maybe you've taken on offenses of somebody else. Somebody else is hurt, that somebody you love was hurt maybe. And we take those offenses on. We take those hurts on. Perhaps there's somebody here today that's going through a relational issue that I can't even begin to imagine the pain, the hurt, the betrayal you feel. But if you're here this morning, and if I've said anything over these last 6 weeks, God, I pray that today you could say, God, I'm open to what you want to do. I'm not even saying you're ready to just let them go. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying you're ready to let God start a work in you. If that's you here this morning, If you can say, God, help me to do what you have already done for me, if that's your prayer this morning, if you'd real quickly just raise your hands, I want to pray for you. Awesome. Hands going up across the room. If you're tuning in online, same thing. We've got a pastor waiting right there to pray with you too. Just say, I need that prayer. Across the room. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, Lord God, we come before you. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray that today would be the beginning of a restoration, a healing, unlike anything we could even imagine. God, I ask that you, in your presence, would do a work with your spirit through our lives and in such a way, Lord God, that only you can do, Father. And then, Lord, as we seek you, as we turn to you, as we pray to you, God, we ask for your help to forgive others as we have been forgiven. Lord God, across this room, burdens, hurt, pain. Lord God, I pray that we would find the path, that we would choose the way. Not our way, Lord God, that seems right, Father, but your way. Not just the truth, Lord God, that you spoke, Father, but the truth in light of the way that you lived, God. That we would walk in forgiveness. And in the name of your Son, Father, I speak peace over every relationship, every marriage, every family. I pray today that there would be reconciliation across this room. I thank you, God, for the healing power of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, Father, I pray for those who have wronged us. If even, Lord God, knowing, if only for the reason, knowing, Lord, that my prayers don't necessarily change them, but I know they change me, God, I pray for them. And God, as far as it depends on us, I pray that you would lead us, that you would empower us, Father God, that we would choose by the power of your Spirit to do what's right. I ask for healing, Lord God, in relationships. Let people come together, let them walk, let them talk, let them love all along the way, Lord God, choosing to walk in forgiveness just as you forgave us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift, the blessing of salvation of your Son. And Lord, I pray today that our lives would reflect that joy, that peace, that life. That those fruits, Lord God, would be evident, Father, and in everything that we do, Lord Jesus, that the people that we live among would then be able to see how good, how awesome it is, Lord God, the work that you are doing right here in this place. It's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, y'all have a very, very, very blessed week. Remember, check out the fostering table out there in the lobby. Love you guys. Remember, forgive. God bless you.